Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ballgame!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win! Touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, here's Jim Coyle.
It's Friday, everybody! How are you doing? Welcome aboard. Glad to have you along, no matter where or how you're listening, but just lock it in on the radio station. You've got it in on the radio dial as you travel throughout the day. And if you're following on social media as well, make sure you please subscribe. Hit the like button. It makes a lot of difference for us. We really appreciate all of that and all of you. It's time for another sports weekend. Cornucopia of things going on now with the Colts are in action. The Pacers are in action, Indiana basketball's in action, and of course, Indiana football's in action, as well as the rest of the Big Ten, Purdue, and everybody else. So you've got whatever you need. There is a full menu of sports. Unfortunately, the Pacers cannot get it done last night in their opening game against the reigning champs, right? But, man, it's sure a good look, at least, that they gave. Wasn't for a lack of effort, right? Someone said that on the chat line, I think. So, yeah, there you go. Not for a lack of trying. Amazing effort. What can you do when SGA gets 26 free throws? Yeah, well. Well, that's going to happen, baby. But a big weekend ahead, like I said. You just had the Pacers play last night. The Colts are in action. Indiana basketball taking on Baylor on Sunday. And Indiana football, of course, in action against UCLA in Bloomington Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Make sure you pick out something. And then there's the high school action. Don't skip the high schools, man. Go to a high school game. Support your local high schools. And you might enjoy it anyway. There's good stuff out there. Let's see. What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Ohio high schools are going to vote on an NIL proposal. High school principals in Ohio will vote on an emergency bylaw referendum on name, image, and likeness regulations next month. The Ohio High School Athletic Association Board of Directors announced Thursday that the vote will take place from November 17th through the 21st. The members decisively voted down an NIL proposal in 2022. The board of directors last month approved language for another NIL proposal that they planned to vote on in May. The timeline for the vote was accelerated after Franklin County Common Pleas Court Judge Heiza Page issued a temporary restraining order on Monday, allowing all students who are part of the 818 schools in the Ohio Athletic High School Athletic Association to enter into their own NIL deals. Ohio is one of six states that has rules in place that do not allow high school athletes to accept payments for their name, image, and likeness. The others are Alabama, Indiana, Michigan, Mississippi, and Wyoming. course, Indiana's in there. Surprise, Texas isn't. Jasmine Brown, the mother of Jameer Brown, filed the lawsuit in Franklin County Common Pleas Court on October 15th in her role as parent guardian. Brown is a junior who attends Wayne High School in Huber Heights, a suburb of Dayton. He's the top wide receiver prospect in the class of 2027. Brown is verbally committed to Ohio State, which is in Franklin County. Yeah, I bet you they've got some NIL lined up, baby, ready to go. Brown's mother, an attorney, stated that Brown has already missed out on more than $100,000 in potential NIL deals. Man. Oh, what we've come to. I'm being raised by an amazing single mom who's always doing her best to keep things steady while helping me chase my goals on and off the field. You know, like what's allowed in other states, I want to be able to use my name, image, and likeness to help my family financially and get the extra after school academic help and football training, blah, blah, blah. Well, there you go. Yeah, it's here. So adapt or die. NIL deep into the high schools now. Indiana, one of those few states that do not allow that, as I just said, but eventually that'll have to change. Just like Indiana right now, Indiana's the only state that marijuana is not legal in. As far as the states that surround Indiana, it is surrounded by ones that it is. But adapt or die, baby. Adapt or die. So there's that. I think I saw there's more fallout from the betting, or I saw something about betting as well that had something to do with LeBron James. I'll have to try to find that again, but that someone was given advanced knowledge of injuries of LeBron. There we go. Yeah. Allegedly, former 11-year NBA player Damon James was arrested Thursday. Wow. Amid charges that he allegedly disclosed privileged injury information about a prominent basketball player to facilitate illegal sports betting, authorities announced. LeBron James was the prominent player, a source close to James told ESPN. James was not accused of wrongdoing in the incident. Jones was one of 34 people arrested, with Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat Terry Rozier as part of a years-long investigation spanning nearly a dozen states and involving tens of millions of dollars, FBI Director Kash Patel said. The investigation outlined two separate cases, one on illegal sports betting and another on rigged poker games involving the mafia. Talked about that yesterday. That Jones was an unofficial, unpaid part of former Los Angeles Lakers coach Darvin Ham's staff and is no longer with the team under current Lakers coach J.J. Redick. Ham invited Jones to be a part of the team activities after James spent the summer of 2022 with Jones, present for many of his offseason workouts. James was unaware that Jones, his former teammate and assistant coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers, was involved in gambling activity when Jones spent time around James and the Lakers during that season. Federal indictment alleges that before a Lakers game against the Milwaukee Bucks on February 9th, Jones texted a co-conspirator to get a big bet on Milwaukee tonight because James was going to be out. James, who passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the NBA's all-time leading scorer in the previous game, on February 7th, 2023, would go on to miss three straight games because of soreness in his left ankle. Jones allegedly added via text, "Bet enough so D. Jones can eat too." Now, while Milwaukee would go on to win the game, and the indictment alleges that the following season, Jones provided non-public information to a co-conspirator in connection to the Lakers game involving against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Man, basically, you're going to get caught. I love to see that they're getting these guys caught, but it's just unbelievably disappointing and mind-boggling that the guys that are making the kind of money that they're making are the ones doing this. But it is what it is. But you're going to get caught. I guess there were, at the beginning, there were no examples to be made of. And so it's taken this amount of time. So hopefully, I wonder if people are going to get smart and stop. But why are the guys with the money, golly, why are you risking everything? It's amazing. It's amazing. Bozan, how have you been? Says IU will cover the spread tomorrow against UCLA. Bozan, coming in from Amon Jordan. Great to see you. And I hope everyone else is having a great weekend. And are you better? Are you going to get some bets in on some games? I might just do that this weekend. I don't understand why I did not remember to do a simple thing of bet $100 on Indiana to win their first game and then just let that roll. So now I'm going to have to try to make up six games of that, which is not possible, and then let it roll and see what happens. But that's why I'm not the smartest person in the world. Yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night in that Pacers game. 55 points. Two overtimes. Give it up for the Pacers. That's a tough way to lose. 141-135 in a rematch of last season's NBA Finals, which was an epic seven-game series that the Pacers probably would have won, maybe could have won, had it not been for the injury to Tyrese Halliburton. Thunder coach Mark Dino's had planned to limit his team's minutes following its grueling victory over the Houston Rockets on opening night. And there was a moment in the first overtime period Thursday night with the Thunder trailing where he said it would have been easy to pump the brakes. But SGA, who played 45 minutes Thursday after playing 47 minutes in Tuesday's night's opener, wanted to keep going and didn't want to let a chance to win slip away. Well, yeah, that's what you got to do. What a great game. Hopefully that's good news for the season for the Pacers, that they're going to be able to give that kind of effort. Because it's going to take that kind of effort. The coach, I've talked about the coaches, how they have just been boom. We'll talk about when we come back, but take a break. Now, is Brian Kelly on the hot seat? I think so. We'll talk about all that and more. Glad to have you along. Hope your Friday is going well. It's a great Friday sports weekend coming up. And glad to have you listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Don't forget, Southern Indiana fans, stop into our good friends at Reynolds Family Dentistry in Sellersburg. Go see our friend Dr. J. He will get you done. No pain, guaranteed. Guaranteed. He just gives the no pain guarantee. I just made that up. Don't forget, the Big Noon Kickoff is in Bloomington this Saturday. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you, as always. Fox's Big Noon Kickoff in Bloomington for Indiana's game against UCLA tomorrow. Coach is on the hot seat, man. I think that Brian Kelly is in trouble at LSU. They're winning, but just winning, not good enough for LSU fans. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I don't think Brian Kelly just never struck me as the guy, and definitely seemed out of place in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as exhibited in no better fashion. And I don't know if I still have it. Daggone it. I used to have that sound clip of, oh, here we go. You could tell instantly that Brian Kelly was not a fit, in my opinion, at LSU from his first introduction at a basketball game.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. But
my family, of course, he didn't say that like that earlier. It was my family, but to go out and do that in front of those people on TV, it's like, man, what are you thinking? You're trying to force a fit that may or may not even be there. But again, that none of that matters. It comes down to winning. It just comes down to winning. And there is talk of him possibly resigning. And I don't doubt it. I do not doubt her. Florida has turned to Steve Spurrier Jr. looking for help to help fix their floundering offense. That's kind of crazy. Interim coach Billy Gonzalez said on Wednesday that the younger Spurrier, who was hired as an offensive analyst earlier this year, will be more involved with quarterback DJ Lagway when the Gators played number 5 Georgia in Jacksonville on November 1st. So there's that. There is that. I saw an article about the best stadiums in college football. Now, that doesn't, it's not the biggest stadiums. It's not, capacity. It's the best stadiums. And one of the things that struck out to me, that the selection that ended up at number one, it was by a wide margin, a very wide margin. And it was LSU's Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, where normally they get night games, a lot of night games. And it's a daunting environment, no doubt. I've never been there, but it was almost a 2-to-1 difference between first and second in this poll. And let's see, yeah, 274 points to 167 in their the way they did it. Over second place, Beaver Stadium, Penn State, Happy Valley. Not very happy at the moment, but a very daunting environment. And another reason why fans need to understand that when Indiana travels to Happy Valley later in the season, that's not going to be an easy game. I truly believe that. But Tiger Stadium, number one by a wide margin. 14 number one votes. The second place stadium, Beaver Stadium, received one number one vote. Number three, Notre Dame. Number four, Ohio. Number five, Michigan. Number six was Tennessee's Neyland Stadium. Seven, Husky Stadium, Washington. Eight is Kyle Field with Texas A&M. Nine, the Rose Bowl. 10, Autzen Stadium. A lot of big-time stadiums. Bryant Denny for Alabama. Sanford Stadium where Georgia plays. Ben Hill Griffith of Florida. As you go on down the line. The one thing that was, to me, an omission, Iowa is not on there. That's a little surprising to me, but that's that. Hey man, Indiana taking on UCLA this weekend. And I think it's going to be a little bit more challenging than people think, but which is good. You've got a quarterback in Nico Amalivan that's a little elusive. And has been the has spearheaded their resurgence since they fired Coach Deshaun Foster. UCLA is 3-0. That ain't bad. They are 3-0 in the conference since they've retooled their staff. And they're offensively, this team is rushing for 233 yards a game now. In their last three games, which would be against Penn State, Michigan State, Maryland, they're so much more efficient. Time of possession, 36 and a half minutes. That means the other team has the ball 23 and a half minutes. Yeah, but that can be a bad thing because Indiana usually takes about between 2 and 4 minutes to score in a scoring drive. I think Indiana covers the spread in this game eventually. But UCLA has shown that they can play on the road. Last year when they went to LSU, they were tied in the toughest stadium that I just talked about, in that tough environment. And that was under the former coaching staff. So I think they're going to continue to get better. But Indiana is also going to continue to get better. And they have the goods. Now, losing Kellen Wyatt, that's a blow to Indiana. I mean, Indiana's defensive line, I've said it 100 times, but it was my question coming into this season. And man, they've been the MVP of this team, if you want to be honest, in my opinion. Yeah. It's amazing to watch that growth. The offense is kind of on fire right now. It's clicking on all cylinders. And it is a difficult offense to defend. The only way a team is going to stop Indiana is by getting to the quarterback. And I think that that can happen at some point. But right now, Indiana's offensive line has shown that they are up to the task. They've taken on everybody, and that includes Illinois and Oregon and Iowa. Great tests that they passed. And I think they're going to continue to pass. The question is, how far can this Indiana team go? I am convinced that Indiana can win a national title in football this season. I'm not saying that they will, but they are capable of winning the national championship. I cannot believe that I am saying that. But it is, it's a fact. I think that the win at Oregon pretty much put a stamp on that. I think that against Ohio State on a neutral field, it would be a knockdown, drag-out, fist fight. But I like Indiana to come out on top and go 13-0 and get the number one seed in the college football playoffs. But actually, I don't know that the number one seed is where you would really like to be. As far as the matchups, I was looking at one matchup that I was looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? Indiana's got the better match. They didn't have the number one seed. It was number two, I think. And I thought that that was the better matchup for going forward. Yeah, you like the On Three merch there that I'm wearing? We can have that. We're going to have that in the store for sale as soon as they get that up. ISB merch coming too, for those of you. Oh, and as a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that, Fred. Yeah, I know if you're listening on radio, you cannot see what I'm wearing, but I'm wearing a nice Adidas zip-up with the Hoosier.com On Three embroidered on it. If you go get a subscription to the Hoosier.com from now through the end of November, they'll do another one in December. But since it's late in October, now through the end of November, if you get a subscription to thehoosier.com, I'm going to put your name in a drawing and going to draw out, and the winner gets an embroidered thehoosier.com On Three jacket, pullover, something of that nature. So go to thehoosier.com and subscribe. Got to take a break. Alec Lasley's going to join us. We're back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages.
Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you on this Friday. Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com joins us now. And Alec, another big football weekend for Indiana as UCLA comes to town, a resurgent UCLA team that is now 3-0 since they made a coaching change. They've looked unbelievably good from the word go as soon as they made that change. And that was an amazing thing to see, because they'd sucked. Let's be honest. They were the worst team in the Big Ten, except for Purdue last year, but they were probably this year. And
you knew they weren't going anywhere. But man, that change is remarkable. I don't think Indiana's going to have a problem in the game. I think that they'll cover the spread because Indiana is also they're rolling on all clicking on all cylinders right now. But UCLA is going to be at least put up a good challenge.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people kind of assume that UCLA is going to come in and not, you know, have an upset by any means, right? But, you know, make it a lot more challenging. And I struggle with that because typically in these types of environments, right, when a team is this hot, when a team is coming in with kind of this much, I guess, external pressure to kind of come in and play a lot better than what they typically have, it doesn't go the right way. So I think Indiana is really going to be okay with this one. I don't think UCLA is going to have, you know, the ease that it has offensively, right? I mean, they've played Maryland, they've played Michigan State, and obviously a depleted and kind of emotionless Penn State in the three wins, right? And then that fourth game since the coaching change was Northwestern there at the very beginning. So, you know, it's not like they've played stout defensive teams thus far. The offense, right, is doubled for UCLA, doubled in rushing yards per game up to about 240 a game over the last three. And they're running the ball about 45, 46 times a game. So it's going to be a very, very run dominant attack. It's going to be a team that gets to third down a lot because they are running the ball. They're not stretching the field a whole lot. I think it is from 23% up to 50% right now on third down conversions for UCLA in the last three games. So they're making the right and necessary changes, but they're not a team that just has the firepower to compete with the Indiana defense. I think Indiana is going to be able to shut them down. As long as they are going to be able to limit a little bit of the quarterback run, that's right. You know, what Indiana has kind of struggled with at times over the course of this season from a defensive standpoint, and some of those explosive plays. But overall, I think Indiana is going to be just fine. I think they're going to win and cover the spread. And this team really, from a mindset perspective, is much more focused on all the details than what I think a lot of people externally really understand. Obviously, with us, you know, much closer to the program, we you know, talk to Kurt Cignetti every week. We hear him multiple times throughout the week. We hear him in post-game press conferences and pre-game stuff. You know, he's very, very focused on making sure that the mindset of this team is here and now and not focused on anything other than that. And, you know, I don't know of a coach, you know, maybe outside of, you know, Nick Saban back in the Alabama days that really gets his team up and prepared for every single opponent. And that's something that's very difficult to do, especially when you have more talent and more firepower and more goals and expectations. And so that's the thing that I think is going to be extremely helpful for Indiana here. But I just don't think this is going to be as close of a game that a lot of people do. Again, UCLA has played much better, but I think Indiana is just coming in with a much different mindset, higher goals. And this is just another little kind of roadblock from getting them to that. And I think they roll in this one just like they have all season long.
Yeah, Kurt Cignetti has, if anything, besides being as brash and bold as he was, and that was done with purpose, he is locked in on keeping things locked in. I mean, there are phrases that sound like cliches, but when you live them, they're not cliches. Keeping the main thing is one of those phrases that they live by, but I think that is one that is what sets Kurt Cignetti apart. He's been able so far to keep his teams locked in on the challenge at hand, to keep them focused and to not let them lose sight. Now, he's facing a bigger challenge now, one that he has not faced before, and that is not apathy, but just feeling good about yourself, because this team, this program in these two short years has been built on you know, having this chip on your shoulder, built by guys that were not recruited by the big guys. And then we're told, we'll see if they can compete at this level. So they've had that attitude. Now that they're beating these big guys, you go to Oregon and you get a win. That's the best win of the college football season, without question in my mind. Now you've got to fight that feeling good about yourself and not having that chip on your shoulder. So that's something Kurt Cignetti has been great at so far, and I think that they'll continue to do that because that's part of what drives this team to winning is how they go about it. Man, they are machine-like on offense right now. That offense is just clicking, and that's bad news for the teams they're going to be playing.
No, absolutely. I mean, they from start to finish, right, in games, they have a little bit of a slow start here and there, right? We saw that a little bit, obviously, with Michigan State. We saw that with Iowa. We saw that even, you know, dating back to Old Dominion, right? Just a little bit slower to kind of get things going. That's one thing that UCLA does really well. You know, they're plus 41 here in the recent three-game stretch. In first half scoring, right? So they're going to try to get out to a hot start. But again, I think, you know, that Michigan State game really, I think, helped the mentality of this team. We heard Kurt Cignetti talk about it after the Michigan State game that, you know, kind of midway through the week, he saw a little bit of the lapse in the focus that they needed. And that was the one thing that, you know, wasn't worrisome from him. But the one thing that he really focused on Friday and then going into Saturday was just to make sure that mindset did not shift from, hey, we're, you know, number two, number three in the country now to, you know, hey, we can actually lose any sort of game and put us behind the eight ball when it comes to our goals and expectations and what we want to do, you know, the rest of the season here. So I think that little lapse really reframed this team and what they're trying to accomplish. And I think that's why UCLA and moving forward, when you look at the remainder of the schedule, I just don't see a way that this Indiana team falls before the end of the year. They're on too narrow of a path of what they are all trying to accomplish. And that's a rare thing in any sport, right? But specifically in college sports, you only get that. And that's, you know, a few teams only get that, and those are special moments. And I think specifically with this coaching staff, with this team, you know, they're all very, very much focused on the details now. And I think that that Michigan State and that slow start and that little bit of kind of rocky boat, I think is going to help them moving into the back half of the season here. And obviously whatever happens postseason play beyond the final regular season game.
Yeah, I think that they've just come off of this tough three-game stretch in which they took on number 9 Illinois at the time at home, and of course we know they wiped them from the planet. Then you go into Carver Hawkeye to Iowa and take on the Iowa Hawkeyes there in that tough environment, which was great training for their next game at Oregon, and they go out there and they get it done in that environment. So now they're hardened, they're ready to go, and they've got a clear path the rest of the year. And I agree with you, although I do think that game at Penn State will still be a tough game because of the environment.
Do you think there's going to be an environment there? I mean, they could have 2-3 more losses before we get to that point. And we already saw what it was towards the back half. So that's like, right. I mean, Penn State this year, right, has, you know, yes, they're very talented, but what makes them so difficult to play there is obviously that environment with nothing really to play for at this point, a backup quarterback, right? I mean, I think that's the one thing that really could go either way, but I just don't see that environment being what it obviously can be. Regardless of how many kind of wins or losses they have here. I just think everyone's, from a Penn State perspective, everyone is just totally out on this season, especially with Drew Aller out. It's not like you have a lot of expectation here moving forward. So I'm very interested to see what that's like. I just don't – I have a hard time thinking it's going to be the difficult environment that you're obviously used to from Penn State.
Yeah, I that's a great point, and we'll have to certainly see. But I do agree on the 12-0 finish for the Hoosiers, and not only that, I like them. I mean, this is way too far. We've got 6-7 weeks that we've got until the Big Ten title game, but at least maybe 8 weeks. I like them against Ohio State. I don't know. I still don't know how good Ohio State really is. Who have they played? That's, you know, Texas. Texas is not a shining star, and they really don't have another big win. Indiana has the two best wins in college football, in my opinion. But I just think that as a whole, as a team, Indiana is better because they're better offensively. But it's a 50-50 game. It's going to be a knockdown, drag out, fist fight, in my opinion. But I think Indiana can win the Big Ten, go 13-0, and I think they can win the damn national championship, Alec, because that would put them in the number one or possibly two slot, and I think they're capable of beating any team in the country right now.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think they showed that going at Oregon, a place that you know, no one had won for, you know, almost 2 years, right? So, I mean, this team 100% can not only win a Big Ten, they can win a national championship, right? I think it's just really about, you know, continuing to focus on the details for them. It's, you know, I do think Ohio State and Indiana are, you know, right there neck and neck. I don't know, you know, that's probably flip of the coin, right? It would be interesting to see, right, what happens at the end of this year from an Ohio State perspective. Obviously, they still have to win out. Indiana still has to win out to have both teams meet there, but in obviously Indianapolis here. But, you know, who knows what happens? Potentially Michigan decides to play a little bit of a shock there at the end of the season and beat Ohio State, because we obviously know that that game is a little bit more than just anything when it comes to rivalries. Yeah, so, I mean, and just like you said, right, Ohio State really has not, outside of, you know, the Illinois game at Illinois, which they obviously handled quite easily and pretty much had that game in the bag at the end of the first quarter to kind of middle portion of the second quarter. You know, that Texas win doesn't look, you know, super impressive at this point with how much Texas and specifically, right, Arch Manning has struggled this year. They're not going to see, and they haven't seen an offense like Indiana's. Up to, you know, when they potentially would play in the Big Ten championship. And on the flip side, right, I mean, I don't think Indiana, you know, outside of Oregon will be tested like they would, obviously, with Ohio State in that frame too. So I think clearly these two teams are the two most dominant this year. And the thing that, you know, you can't take away from either one of these two teams in Ohio State and Indiana is you look around the country, right? Everyone seems to lose a game that they shouldn't. Everyone seems to have a super close game that they shouldn't, right? Texas A&M almost lost to 2-5 Arkansas without a head coach. We've obviously seen what UCLA's been able to do here in a little bit of a resurgence, but all these teams are struggling at some point. We really haven't seen that from either one of these two teams. And that's why I think it's so impressive that no matter what here, they continue to win no matter who that opponent is. And they don't win. They dominate, right? I mean, Indiana won by 53 points against what everyone thought was a college football playoff team in Illinois. And obviously Illinois is not proven to be that type of caliber team, but that just shows you when these two teams are focused, right, they're going to beat almost anyone anywhere. And that's why I think it's so impressive what Indiana continues to do, which I think is underrated in terms of just continuing to win every single time they go out.
Russell with the a great comment that says, Ohio State versus Indiana will be position versus position. What talent in those individual matchups prove to be better will determine the outcome. That's pretty much the case, and I believe that, because Indiana and Ohio State seem to be close in everything. I think that Indiana's offense is better. I can't say that the defense is better because Ohio State is ranked so highly, but it's also they haven't
played the schedule Indiana's played. Indiana's played a little tougher schedule. So I'm not sure that Indiana's defense is not as good. They do have a hit, of course, with the loss of Kellen Wyatt. But I think that they'll fill in nicely. But the defensive line has been,
which is a major loss. I think, you know, super underrated addition this offseason that even Indiana fans write. I mean, obviously he had really significant stats for Maryland, but I think just the way that he fit in this scheme and this system was super underrated from just a national perspective. And you know, it's unfortunate that obviously it doesn't look like he's going to be back. But you know, still you got a lot of really, really good talent, a lot of young guys still, obviously, that are looking to prove themselves too. But overall, I think, you know, that defensive line for Indiana has really stepped up in the way that I don't think a lot of people expected them to at the start of the season.
Yeah, Peebo pointing out that IU recruit Cravalla announcing it Saturday, November 1st, down to 3. He likes it. IU's chances on that one. Lots of recruiting action. Speaking of all this stuff that Indiana's got going, the recruiting has really turned up. You've got some Penn State decommits that are looking at Indiana. You've just got a ton of guys that they're bringing. They're bringing in a ton of guys this weekend for this UCLA game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's becoming the norm, right? Major recruiting weekends every single weekend for Indiana home games. You go back to last week, right, at Michigan State. You go the home games before, right? It's just a continuous snowball effect dating back to last year when they started to get that towards the end of the season with big sellouts and then bringing in big recruiting visitor lists. And obviously this year it's continued, but Indiana doing a phenomenal job on the recruiting trail. And the biggest thing is that everyone continues to say, right, the two things are culture and winning, right? And if you have both of those, they obviously go hand in hand, but we haven't heard those two things from an Indiana football team in quite a while. And obviously getting up to number two in the country and dominating and playing in very fun schemes, right? I mean, this offensive system is very fun to play in. Now we've seen through 20 games. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, the number one wideout or the number four wideout, you're going to get your touches, right? I mean, Miles Price, Keyshawn Williams, both in the NFL right now, were, you know, third and fourth wide receivers last year from Indiana. And then obviously you look at what they do from a running perspective. It's a three, not as much this year, right, with Lee Beebe going down early in the season, but it's a three-headed attack for 2 years now with multiple guys getting multiple touches every single game, both out of the backfield and running the ball. And then defensively, I mean, why would you not want to play for an aggressive style defensive coordinator in Brian Haynes, where you have, you know, Isaiah Jones coming into this week, right? I mean, I think third and fourth in sacks and tackles for loss. Going into the week prior, he was leading the Big Ten in tackles for loss there. So you have multiple guys having multiple major statistical years. And obviously, when you're buying into the system like that, it's easy to have multiple guys do that, but it's difficult to have these guys buy in like they have. So it's obviously a testament to this coaching staff. But again, I don't know any recruit out there. And we saw EJ Williams talk about it on Twitter earlier this week, saying if he was a recruit right now going through his recruiting process, nowhere that he'd rather play for than Indiana. And it just the vibe, the excitement from top down, right? Even the, you know, Pam Winton and Scott Dolson, right? Their excitement level, I think, has gotten everyone else excited, which obviously in turn gets recruits and families and everyone just you know, around the program super excited about getting on campus, being part of that culture and being, you know, part of the change that's obviously still ongoing and can really never stop there. But obviously it's crazy to look back, you know, 24 months ago and see where the program was versus where it is now and in such a short amount of time. And obviously it takes more than one person, but I think everyone is quite excited about the future under Kurt Cignetti, especially after obviously signing that new long-term deal.
Absolutely. Agree 1,000%. Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com with us. We've got lots more to talk about. IU basketball in action as they'll take on Baylor this weekend. Back with more Indiana Sports Beat Radio right after these messages. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio, on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Thanks a lot for joining us. Keep it locked right where you have it on your radio dial as you travel throughout the day. Alec Lasley from thehoosier.com is with us. And don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, for those of you listening, go to thehoosier.com, subscribe. It's 50% off, number one. Number two, it's the best coverage of IU athletics and inside information. Number three, you get a subscription to The Athletic on top of that. And to sweeten the deal, you have to email me and let me know that you or get a message to me that letting me know that you subscribe because you heard it on Indiana Sports Beat Radio, and you will be in the running for one of the sweet pieces of merchandise like the one I'm wearing right now. This Adidas zip up with the On3, the Hoosier.com embroidered on it as well. So can't get a better deal than that. Alec Lasley from the Hoosier.com is with us. And Alec, basketball sneaking in, man, and it's going to come in hard and heavy. You've got Kentucky and Purdue playing, which I that one kind of slipped by me. I had Dustin Schutte on yesterday, and that one just went right by. But I think, is Purdue playing at Kentucky?
Yeah, tonight. Yep.
So we'll look forward to checking that action out, and that'll give us a view of what Purdue really looks like, what Kentucky looks like, because both of those teams are on Indiana's schedule this year. Then you've got Louisville, Alec, who just added, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or was it Larry Bird, or who was it from the NBA that they've added? They added some dude that's played in their damn G League for 3 years. How is this even possible that the NCAA does this?
Yeah, London Johnson, who I think he was part of the – initially I thought he was part of the, 2024 class, and then obviously went and played in the G League, but for 2 years, I think it was, and then now obviously came back and kind of reclassified into 2026. There's a lot of different loopholes, right? It's almost – if you think about the Europeans, the international players, right, playing professionally, it's not to say that that's a great parallel, because there's obviously some big differences in both, but
pretty close.
You can kind of think of it like that from a U.S. perspective. But yeah, I mean, now we're starting to hear some other names from a G League perspective that are getting looked at and that are kind of down to two or three colleges that are looking to make a decision here. Houston involved with the center who's been in the G League for the last couple of years too, but it's very kind of convoluted in terms of how it works. Joe Tipton at On3 has a really good article online about the details and kind of the nuances of recruiting G League players and how it can work. Definitely would check that out. But now this is the first time that we've seen that. And so it'll be interesting to see what snowball effect, if any, right, that it really creates. It was funny, a couple years ago, maybe 4 years ago, right, when the G League really started to create some momentum, a lot of people were worried that the G League was going to take a lot of good potential college players from high school and take them away from college. Now we see the G League coming back into the college game, and the college game, I think, is probably the best that it's ever been. So it's an interesting dynamic in how the two have kind of shifted. Over the last couple of years from that standpoint. Obviously, NIL's helped a lot of that. But, it'll be interesting to see what snowball effect this creates and, how frequently I think we see it. I don't think it's going to be multiple guys every single year. I think you're going to see maybe one or two, but I don't think it's going to be a huge new recruiting draw for a lot of these coaches. If so, then, that's going to create multiple new dynamics that I don't think the NCAA is anywhere near ready for.
Well, I don't think, there's a lot of things the NCAA is not ready for, and that they're are going to have to change without question. But the NCAA is going to have to, nothing's going to change really. I've said this over and over until there is federal legislation. Whether it's the SCORE Act or whatever, there has to be some kind of guardrails put in place, because right now there are basically none. When you're pulling in guys that have played in the G League for three stinking years, there's no rules, man.
No, absolutely. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens. The NCAA is not ready for kind of any of these changes typically when they happen, and are always kind of being reactionary. So you'd like to see them be a little bit proactive in some of the sense, but we'll see what happens. I don't think, again, this is going to be a huge form of recruiting with the G League here moving forward. So it's probably just going to be one or two of these players, every single year, but that's about it from my expectation and perspective.
The Louisville game, speaking of that, number one UConn season opener against number 20 Louisville, that was supposed to be played at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany on November 4th, has been moved to the Naval Academy because of the government shutdown. We're excited to have the opportunity to play at the Academy. Jeff Waltz. That's the women's game.
Yep.
Yeah, that's confusing. I was going to say, I didn't know UConn was number one. Pardon me. My apologies. Well, that's a women's game. So the women's game has been moved. So there's that because of the government shutdown. Indiana taking on Baylor on Sunday. This is the first true look. I mean, we got to see him in Puerto Rico, which was a good test at the time. But now this is a big time later, lots of growth. Lots of they've gotten better. They're better as a team, and you've got Trent Sisley, who is making. Dude, Trent Sisley is going to make a run for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. People better get ready for that. But this is going to be our first good look at what this team has and what they could be this year.
No, absolutely. And right. I mean, I think this is Baylor is much like Indiana returns nothing from last year. So they have an entirely new team. It's a much different team. And we have a great exclusive Q&A up with Joe Tipton on the Hoosier.com about Baylor specifically. He was able to spend some time down in Waco this summer and watch a few practices and get some really good insight into the new Baylor Bears program. And so we were able to catch up with him and get some really good insight on what this Baylor team really looks like. And obviously from a win-loss standpoint, this game does not matter. But it is the first time where you can see Indiana matched up against a level of competition that they're going to see and really care about, moving into the season, which obviously you get almost right away with Marquette and Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas State, right? So it's a good test early on. Just to kind of see where things are at after, the three exhibitions in Puerto Rico. Then you have the Marion preseason game last week. So now this is kind of not only wrapping up the preseason, but it's a good chance to see all the progression that they've made over the last month and a half, 2 months, dating back to Puerto Rico. But specifically with Baylor, they're always going to be tall. They're always going to be long. And they're still deep as always. They're super athletic on the wing, but they don't have kind of that true wing scorer that they've had that you think about in years past. They also don't have a true point guard, which has been something that Baylor's always had from that standpoint. Obi Agbim is that point guard. Right now, he is much more of a shooter. Transfer from Wyoming, averaged about 18 a game last year. Shoots a heck out of the ball, about 44% on three made threes last year. So you're going to have a lot of shooting, like always, from Baylor, but they just don't have the same kind of quickness and true scoring from the backcourt like what we've become accustomed to from a Baylor team. So it's going to be different from that standpoint. You have a lot of different pieces that are probably more secondary options and third options, so it'll be interesting to see how they all fit in. They have Dan Skillings from Cincinnati, a guy who has played a lot of basketball, but a guy who really has not been a top two option in a few years. And so they just don't have kind of that true alpha from that standpoint. Michael Raha is a transfer from Oregon State, averaged about 17-7 last year. Versatile forward. Joe Tipton said he's going to be used either from the five all the way down to kind of the point guard role. But he's a super versatile forward from that standpoint. So you'll be able to see how Reed Bailey matches up with someone of that same kind of caliber and skill set. But from Indiana's perspective, right, it's about continuing to play, you know, their style of offense. And I think this is going to be a really good test, because you're probably going to see Baylor be able to switch a lot more on the perimeter than what they obviously saw in Puerto Rico, and then obviously what Marion showed them last Friday as well. So it's going to be a vastly different level of competition, a very good level of competition that I think sets them up for what they're obviously going to see in the first month of the regular season here.
We're also asking, what are the chances of Indiana landing the number one center of the class of 2026 if Houston is looking at the G League for their center?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, there are a couple things with that. You know, right, Indiana now has, you know, any sort of additional NIL that they were looking to use for Anthony Thompson available, since Anthony Thompson went to Ohio State. So that is something to take into account, too. Look, I mean, Erfan Diani is an absolute beast down in the paint. And he, from talking to his guardian after the Indiana visit, style of play, the freedom that the Indiana forwards are going to be able to play with in the centers. Obviously, we haven't fully seen that, but from what we've been told, from what little we've seen, right, the freedom that they're going to have was notable. Darren DeVries and Kenny Johnson were out to see him yesterday, actually, before his visit to Houston, which he's at currently right now. Houston's the last visit before he makes a decision. I believe the announcement's going to be the second week of November, either 13th or the 15th of November, when he's making this college decision. Houston is still the team to beat here going into this visit. We'll see where things go. But Indiana did a phenomenal job on that visit, and I think opened up their eyes to potentially what playing in an Indiana system really does truly look like. And so from that standpoint, right, I think Indiana definitely moved up from kind of where they were sitting, but Arkansas is still heavily involved. I think you look at Houston, Arkansas as the top two there with, I would say, still kind of a sizable gap between Houston and Arkansas. But then Indiana, I think, did a good job pushing the ball, at least more in their side of the fence after that visit. But Carvalho is a guy who's going to be making his decision November 1st. Coming off his Indiana visit, we'll have an exclusive Q&A up on thehoosier.com here later on today from his visit and what he's now looking for in making a decision. Indiana, Xavier, Cal are the three. Skill development, environment, and style of play, the three things that he touched on that, one, are going to be the major impacts for picking a college, but two, what he was able to see in Bloomington, and the environment really blew him away in Bloomington when he was there last weekend for homecoming. So we'll have that up later today, but he'll be making that decision on November 1st. So those are really the two guys left for Indiana from a 2026 standpoint. Obviously, things will still change going into the spring when you'll probably have the commitments, right? You'll probably have a couple guys show up on the radar just like always, but those are the final two as we get into the early signing period here in the beginning of November, which is obviously just a couple of weeks away before National Signing Day.
Andy asking, was Anthony Thompson a money decision? Do you think it came down to a money decision? And then I ask, if that is the case, then is Indiana being frugal, or do they have less money?
So a couple things with that, right? I mean, Ohio State, to an extent, right? Diebler is, I don't want to say coaching for his job moving forward, but there's some real pressure to win now after last year and kind of the way that his tenure started off there. Indiana was heavily involved with numerous top 30, top 15, top 20 kind of guys. And to be frank, right, Indiana does not have a top five even maybe fringe top 10 NIL program at this point. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I don't want to say this was 100% about money, but Ohio State had an initial offer that was bigger than Indiana's. Indiana upped their offer to Anthony Thompson. And then within the last week before he made his decision, Ohio State upped their offer again to Anthony Thompson, right? I mean, a lot goes into this, but I think, you know, the NIL package definitely played a role in him picking Ohio State. We'll see how it works out. Obviously, you can't fault the kid for, one, staying home in Ohio, and then two, obviously, for setting yourself up. But he's likely going to be a one-and-done type player. So it's something where, for Ohio State, they could not land him. For Indiana, again, he's still a massive kind of loss there, because they'd done such a phenomenal job in that recruitment and did a lot of really good things leading up to that, a lot of investment into him. Obviously now you flip the page and you know, you still have Prince Alexander Moody. You look to the other two targets here still in the 2026 class, and either way, they were going to have a large portal, transfer portal class in the spring with how many departures are expected due to graduation. So one player from an Anthony Thompson standpoint was not going to change the trajectory of Indiana's season next year. It would have obviously elevated their potential, but I still think there's multiple ways to get around that, especially with a lot of proven players that you're going to be able to find, obviously, in the transfer portal come spring and summertime.
Yeah, so that puts the pressure on Darren DeVries, to be honest with you. He's going to have to land after putting his first team together, which didn't have he took a different route with guys, kind of like a Cignetti route, and we'll see how that works out this time around. But you know, you've got to increase the talent, so a lot of pressure on him to land some guys, although the transfer portal is where it's really at, unless you're talking guys that are going to be impact players or like Trent Sisley, where you're pretty confident they're going to be four-year guys. So I don't know how impactful recruiting is, to be honest with you, in this day and age in basketball, because you can fill so many needs other ways, but we'll see. Make sure you stay in touch with thehoosier.com. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. You're missing out on the best coverage of not only Indiana basketball, Indiana football, and all other things that go with it. And like I said, if you're listening, obviously here, send me a message once you get a subscription, and I'll put you in for one of these great pieces of merchandise from thehoosier.com on three, or Indiana Sports Beat Radio, your choice. Alec Lasley, appreciate you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Jim. Have a good one.
You as well, brother. We've got lots more coming up. Zach Osterman's going to join us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Glad to have you along. I hope your weekend is off to a good start. That's the goal. Back right after this. Welcome back. Indiana Sports Beat Radio coming to you on this Friday. And now Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, I use Insider, joins us. Zach, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Great. We've already had a question. What will Zach be wearing today? And I like that. And so now, from now on, each Friday, I'm going to have to request that you grace us with some of your great swag. As I've got to say, I like that jacket right there. Is that green?
Yeah, it's just fresh Adidas line. So.
Oh, wow. It looks fresh. That's a great word for it, because it looks fresh. Zach rolling in. So what is the logo on there? I'm sure this is
the Premier League. Yeah, it's Liverpool.
There you go.
The old Adidas trefoil. So
you're always how do you always stay up on top of the unis and all of that? You're always on top of it, man.
I do wear a lot of jerseys, it's true. It's
no, I don't mean that you do that. I mean you're always on top of what's new, what's fresh, what's out.
Well, I don't know about that, but in this case, this is relatively new because Liverpool just re-signed with Adidas for 10 years. So,
yeah, good.
I use Adidas school too. Maybe they can send you some free swag. They should. a big weekend for Indiana this weekend, Zach, is Indiana football, obviously hosting UCLA on Saturday. And then the Hoosier basketball team will host Baylor on Sunday in the first look for fans against and us. Against legit competition. Puerto Rico offered that, but now we're some 2 months later, and that makes a huge difference in the growth of the team, the growth of the individual players, growth of guys like Trent Sisley that I keep talking about. Trent is going to make a run for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, it looks, the way the tremendous development. As he, when we spoke to him last at that open practice, I asked everybody who had developed more from Puerto Rico till now. And anybody that gave me a name, it was Trent Sisley. So, man, he's going to be a definite piece of what happens for Indiana. But this is going to be our first good look at what they're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is you and I were in Puerto Rico. We've seen this team more than you would in the average, right? And I mean, credit to Darren DeVries too. Not all of his predecessors have done this. He's open practice more often, for us as a, as kind of like a media group. You know, what have we been to, like two or three practices now? And, I even got to see him go through like just a short workout in Puerto Rico. So like this team is brand new and there's so much we can't answer. And yet at the same time, we have seen a lot of them relative to what would be normal for this time of year. And so Sunday feels both instructive because number one, it's the last exhibition. Number two, it's going to be in, I think, a fun environment, a lot of fans, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, NBA Arena, all that. And number three, it is a high major competitor. Baylor's roster is, pretty well turned over too, if I'm not mistaken. But it's also, for this group going to feel like more of a continuation than what it normally would this time of year, if that makes sense. Normally, Indiana would be maybe in its second competitive game, or maybe even its first. I mean, October 26th is around the time that I'm used to these things starting up because you usually, build them up in like the maybe 7 to 10 days before the start of your season rather than, pushing it all the way to October 16th, 17th, whatever the Marion game was. So it's interesting how it fits into the wider search for clarity around what this team is, because we have seen more of this group. We do have more sort of almost pre-established expectations, and yet, this is something we haven't seen, which is Indiana going up against the level of competition Indiana is going to need to be able to compete with and beat. I understand it's an exhibition setting, and we can look at the Tennessee game last year and say, hey, this isn't going to be fully instructive in any direction. But this is our best look at Indiana against high major competition, the kind of games, the kind of opponents Indiana is going to need to be able to beat if they want to go where they say they do this year.
Yeah, this is kind of the perfect litmus test in a way, because just talking to Alec Lasley, he talks about Baylor's length of what they had. They're a new team as well, like many others are a new team, but they have a lot of length. But that's going to give us a great look at what Indiana can do against those kinds of teams, with their offense moving at warp speed and their defense. The defense obviously is going to be the truer test. But offensively, I'm interested to see what Indiana can do against those teams that has that length with what we've seen that they're going to do. I mean, this offense is going to move, like I said, at warp speed. So those bigs are going to have their track shoes on.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I do think Indiana, Darren DeVries sounds more encouraged about where his team is defensively than he did maybe in the summer and than he did, around the Puerto Rico trip. I mean, listen, the Marion game was probably not going to be a great measure of that either way, but anytime you construct a 26-0 run, you're probably doing something right defensively. And so, I guess the best way to say it is, because you kind of talked about the offensive piece of it there too. It felt a little bit more in that Marion game like offense and defense were working in sync. Like, when Indiana had the ball in Puerto Rico, you could see well, this is how the offense is supposed to work, and it's supposed to flow like this, and it's supposed to, you know, sort of move in this direction, and these are the players they're looking to find and all that. But defense felt almost divorced. It was almost like Indiana, like defense was completely and totally its own thing that Indiana was trying to figure out possession by possession in Puerto Rico. And I thought in that Marion game, there was a lot more defense feeding offense. There was a lot more understanding of how to turn a rebound into a fast break quickly, you know, where the ball needed to go to get up the floor and create some 3-on-2s, some 2-on-1s, some 2-on-2s. So maybe, you know, I think maybe part of what you're looking for in this game is that can Indiana sustain that natural sort of rhythm of that's necessary of, you know, good defense leads to good offense, which speeds the game up, forces the other team to play at your tempo. Suddenly they're making more mistakes on offense that you're taking advantage of. That feeds your tempo even more. That's how you build runs. That's how you take control of games. That's how you win. You know, Indiana had moments like that in Puerto Rico, but I thought it was much more sustained, even allowing for the competitive level against Marion. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if that can be sustained again as the talent level steps up here.
Absolutely, without question, we look forward to seeing that as the season gets started. And of course, Indiana football season rolls on. And now, Zach, after the win at Oregon, it has really altered the trajectory in a straight upward manner, as Indiana has a clear path to a 12-0 season. And by clear path, they have to play the games, obviously. But they're going to be favored in every game, and they should win every game remaining on their schedule. Should is the operative word, because it is sports and stuff happens. But this is mind-boggling, because then if that were to come to fruition, we're possibly looking at two 12-0 teams meeting for the Big Ten title, of which I think Indiana is not only capable of winning, now I think Indiana is capable of winning the national championship, which is nuts. I mean, nuts to be able to even utter those words and mean it. But that's what I think now after seeing what we've been able to see. It's been a hard time to gauge all of these teams, Zach, that are, you know, whether who's good, who's really not. We know Indiana is good because we've seen them enough. We've seen what they've done. They've got two of the best wins in college football this year. But some of these, like Ohio State, how good are they really? They beat Texas, but it's going to be just so fun to watch the remainder of this season fill out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I was looking at these numbers a little bit earlier. Indiana's got a 94.4% chance to make the playoff. This is per the FPI. 15.2% chance to win a national title, roughly a 25% chance, so 1 in 4 to win out from here, which is, you know, I mean, the only teams that have, you know, significantly better odds to win out from this point are Oregon and Ohio State, like Miami and Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is kind of its own thing because their schedule just, you know, was all completely front loaded. But in the Big Ten, like, you know, Ohio State's at 42.4% away win out. That's probably reflective of their schedule as much as anything, as you said. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not predicting Indiana's going to go 12-0. I think there are reasons to believe they can. I think, you know, Vegas would tell you it's not likely on the balance of probability just because it's hard to win 12 games in a row in college football. Like, there's a reason why it does not happen that often. It did not happen. Well, I guess Oregon went, 13-0 and then lost immediately in the playoff last season. But Indiana's going to be favored in every game from this point forward, barring some dramatic change. That is what Indiana's playing for. Again, if you want to look at the FPI projections, Indiana's one of only two teams. The FPI, the statistical models, like, don't really love the idea of absolute certainty, that there will always be some bias toward the idea of median outcomes. But Indiana's one of only two teams, Ohio State's the other, in the FPI projection right now that's closer to 12 wins in the regular season than it is to anything below 12. You know, what I would say more than anything else is just, and I don't mean to sound patronizing, but like, I grew up with this kind of football. Like, this, you know, this is what I grew up around. And, you know, you don't, and I've watched, I mean, like, you know, my stepmother went to Auburn. I watched her watch them go through a 14-0 season in 04. And then I guess, what were they, 14-0 or 15-0 the Cam Newton year in 2010, 2011, something. I forget if they played, I guess they would have played 14 games that season too. You don't realize it. Like, you know, a season like what Indiana is doing right now is like walking through a forest. Like, you don't know where it's going to end. And all you can see are trees. And so it is hard to appreciate the scale of what you are trying to achieve. And I'm not predicting Indiana's going to go 12-0. I'm not predicting Indiana's going to win the Big Ten title. I'm not predicting Indiana's going to go to play for or win a national championship. I am simply saying that is the level Indiana's keeping right now. Like, that is what Indiana is chasing. And I think it is important for everyone here to understand that. And to just say it out loud so people can embrace the idea that those are the stakes. That is what is available to Indiana right now. And again, there are things that can derail it. I think there's a few positions where Indiana is, you know, woefully short on depth. That's probably true a lot of places. You know, frankly, a lot of the time, you know, health as much as talent is what determines who wins a national title or a World Series or a Super Bowl or whatever. That's just part of sports. Injuries aren't excuses. They are part of the equation, for better or worse. But Indiana is – I mean, there is a legitimate argument to be made that Indiana is the best team in the country right now on October 24th. And that is, despite the fact that I think there are some places, some areas in which Indiana can get better, and that is also despite the fact that Indiana has already played what, at least on paper, are its most difficult games remaining. So this team is absolutely competing to win a Big Ten championship. It's absolutely competing to go 12-0 or 13-0, however you want to see that. And it's absolutely a national championship contender. I'm not predicting it will achieve any of those things because those are all exceptionally difficult things to do. But that is what Indiana is chasing here. That's not fantasy. That's not some kind of, you know, fever dream. That's not a best case scenario at this point. That is just the day-to-day reality. Indiana is one of the best teams in the country, and there is no dream for Indiana this season too large, frankly.
That could not have been stated any more eloquently or better. Without question, that was an exact replica of what this season is and can be, which is amazing. And you've been around sports a long time. And I know that college athletics has changed the amount of change. I don't know that you can even put a number on it, on how crazy it has gone. But what Kurt Cignetti has done is one of the most amazing things that I think has happened in college sports, because Indiana is not buying, you're getting these the highest end athletes with NIL. They're playing within the framework of what many other teams are under as well. But yet the massive change at a program that was, it's like Lazarus being raised from the dead, and to be at this level and to this quickly and to be legitimately competing for a national championship, but potentially, is utterly mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, like, I agree with you. I agree with anyone who says, you know, what Indiana is doing right now is undeniably, you know, remarkable. I do think that in the fullness of time, we are going to come to realize that it is also just reflective of the time that we are in, that, you know, Indiana might be the most extreme example. It's certainly the most extreme example in this part of the country. But, like, look at what Vanderbilt is doing. Look at what Ole Miss is doing. I know who's writing the checks, but look what Texas Tech is doing. Like, we have upended the conventions that used to determine who would be good at football in college football and why, and who would struggle and why. So many of the institutions that used to sort of determine success or failure And I'm not just talking about universities or football programs. I'm talking about recruiting bases. I'm talking about alumni bases. I'm talking about, you know, the methods of roster construction. All of that stuff has just been completely upended. And the schools that have succeeded are the ones that have figured out how to thrive in this new world. And Indiana is certainly one of those. And so I think that what Kurt Cignetti is doing is remarkable, at least according to like the historical conventions that we tend to sort of judge this stuff on. But I also think, given time, we are going to find that Indiana and Kurt Cignetti as its head coach were kind of at the forefront of a revolution in how you win in college football. And that doesn't mean Indiana's here forever. I know Kurt Cignetti said we're the emerging superpower of college football. And, you know, there's nothing guaranteeing that. But you are I guess what I'm saying is Kurt Cignetti deserves immense credit for what's going on. I think he would tell you he's not the only one who does. There are a lot of people in Indiana, you know, Scott Dolson. Cignetti has been very vocal about the support he's gotten from Pam Witten, of course, you know, NIL's collective or Indiana's NIL collective setup and everything, all the support that's been able to provide. Indiana has just, you know, Indiana has ridden the wave instead of trying to swim against it. And with the right person in the head job, look what they've been able to achieve.
Yeah, amazing. You mentioned Pam Witten. I was standing on the sideline at Oregon next to her at the end of the game, and Scott Dolson was there, and I said something to Scott, and she excitedly just turned to me and grabbed my arm and said, "This is Indiana football." Man, to have a president be like that, that's kind of wild. But Zach Osterman, appreciate you, brother. We'll see you at Bloomington's Memorial Stadium tomorrow as IU takes on UCLA. And then, of course, IU at Baylor on Sunday. Busy weekend, 7-day week this week, brother.
Yeah, and I think we got a few more of them coming up. So let's get our sleep and eat our Wheaties when we can.
Exactly. Appreciate you, my friend. Zach Osterman joining us on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Make sure you are a subscriber and giving Zach a follow. We've got more coming up, baby. Back with it. Welcome back, Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Hope you're enjoying your travels. Keep it locked where you have it on your radio dial. And thanks for following, for those following on social media. Don't forget, go to the ESPN Fantasy tab, College Pick'ems, for the ISB Media. Pick'ems? I have forgotten. Two daggone weeks I forgot, so I'm wiped out. But this week, the games Ole Miss and Oklahoma. Boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with Ole Miss in that game, although that would be an upset of sorts. I think Ole Miss is the better team, so that's what you do. South Florida at Memphis. That's another tough pick, man. Number 18, South Florida. They've been rolling, but Memphis is not bad, but I'm going to go with South Florida. Memphis at Vanderbilt, or Missouri at Vanderbilt. Another tough matchup between teams that I think are very equally matched. You got to go with Vandy at home. BYU at Iowa State, number 11 BYU. Iowa State's not bad. That's going to be a tough win for BYU to pick up. Iowa State 5-2 on the year. I'll go for the upset there. Here's another tough matchup. Damn, these are all tough. Illinois at Washington. Number 23, Illinois at Washington. 64% of the people have picked Washington. And I think I've got to go with Washington, too. That's a tough place to play. They've got a good offense. I don't know that Illinois is. Yeah, I'll go with it. Minnesota at Iowa. Yeah, I'm definitely going. Both teams are 5-2. I'm definitely going with Iowa on that one. San Diego State at Fresno State. Don't know enough about them to worry about it. Baylor at Cincinnati. This is a big game. Brendan Sorsby having an outstanding year for the Bearcats. They're 6-1. Their only loss coming to Nebraska, I think. They would be deep and are still a potential CFP member. Texas A&M and LSU. Ooh. Texas A&M going into the most daunting environment in college football. I'm going with Texas A&M. They're 7-0. I don't know, man. LSU coming off of, oh, gee whiz. That's a tough pick. Tough pick. Man. Brian Kelly's, I'm going to Texas A&M. And, you know, earlier I talked about Brian Kelly. This could be the death nail in the coffin. And that, and how crazy would that be if that comes to fruition? And it very well may be that you'd have coaches at LSU, at Florida, at Penn State, all of these major, major schools get fired because they all want to be Indiana. If you want to know the truth, they want what Indiana has. But they can't have that because Indiana was smart enough to sew Kurt Cignetti up. And that was an unbelievably smart move, not only because of the success he's had, but because of the continuity you know that you're going to have in a rising program in the most important sport in college athletics. So, and Indiana is poised to stay there because they're rising, which means they're just starting their run. They're just starting their run. So you're just at the precipice of all this stuff that's going to happen as a if you're an Indiana fan. I went with Texas A&M on that game. North Dakota State, South Dakota State. Both teams are 7-0. But 80% of the people have picked North Dakota State. And I'm going to do the same because they're the Bison. I had a couple friends that went to school there, was on the rodeo team. Yeah, I'm going to go with North Dakota State. So there's that. And then I've got to put in how many points will be scored in the Vandy, Missouri game. Who knows? 54. That's just to get the picks in. Just to get the picks in. And now, let's look at some other games. This weekend, we'll start with the Big Ten. UCLA at Indiana, of course, that's a noon game on Fox. Indiana, 25.5-point favorites. The over and under is 52. Northwestern off their, man, with a win over Penn State. Now they traveled to Nebraska. That's a noon contest. It's on Fox Sports 1. I don't think Northwestern has it in them. Nebraska, 7.5-point favorite to win that. Rutgers going to Purdue. This could be an actually pretty damn good game. Also a noon game. It's on BTN. Rutgers is a 1.5-point favorite. I'm going to go with Purdue to pull the upset. Boiler up, baby. Number 23, Illinois. At Washington, we talked about that just a second ago. I'm going with Washington. They're a 4.5-point favorite, tight game, but yeah, I'm going with Washington there. Minnesota travels to Iowa. I'll go with Iowa. Wisconsin and Oregon, I'll take Oregon. Michigan at Michigan State, I'll take Michigan. Man, appreciate everybody for joining us today. Let's see. I'll just jump to the SEC and see what their schedule is like. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Talked about that one. I'm going with Ole Miss. I think that the Rebels and Lane Kiffin, John Mateer is back for Oklahoma, but I think they lose. Oklahoma's a 5.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Ole Miss in that game. I have to write that down. Ole Miss. Let's see. Auburn at Arkansas. Oh, that's a great. That should be a tight game. Arkansas, 3.5-point favorite. I'll go with Arkansas. Alabama at South Carolina, 11.5-point favorite. I'll take the Tide. Just talked about Missouri at Vanderbilt. Texas at Mississippi State. Texas is a 6.5-point favorite. Yeah, I think they win that game probably. Mississippi State not doing a lot, but they could. That would be nice to see them upset Texas. Texas A&M, number 3 in the country, travels to Death Valley and LSU. I think they get it done. They're a 2.5-point favorite over LSU at LSU. That's nuts. Tennessee at Kentucky, the rivalry. Kroger Field in Lexington. The Volunteers, an 8.5-point favorite. I think that they win that game. I don't know that they cover that spread, but I think they win that game. So, you got that going for us, which is nice. We're in week 9 of the college football season. Some other good games, let's see. Number 16, Virginia's at North Carolina, Bill Belichick. He's still hanging on. 10.5-point favorites, Virginia. Man, that's all. I'm going to add Virginia to that mix. A little Virginia Ole Miss and somebody else parlay. Let's see. I'm trying to look to see. So I talked about that game. Talked about that game. Looking for all the ranked teams that are playing. What fun games will be out there. Texas A&M at LSU, man. That's going to be one to watch. That's an ABC 7:30 game. I know I just mentioned that, but there's a lot going on in that game that will kind of eliminate, if Texas were to lose, that would eliminate Texas, and it could eliminate Brian Kelly. Hey, big thanks to everybody for joining us today. As always, we love you, appreciate you. We'll see you again after the game tomorrow for the post-game show with Coach Griff. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. Go out and have yourselves an incredible weekend. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.